of Israel took their journey out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. Verse 29, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying into a place of which the Lord has said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Verse number 30 gives us Hobab's answer, and he said unto him, I will not go. I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. But Moses continued in verse 31, and he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness. Hobab, you have had experience in wilderness dwelling. You have been this way before us. And he said, we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. All right, in verse 33, here is another directive. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. As I've already stated, I'd like to talk to you this evening about divine guidance or divine direction. I believe that self-directed activity always results in failure. God has given us divine guidance and divine direction to guide us through our tempestuous voyage of life. I like the words of that old song, in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. But there's more to that song than just verse number 1, for the chorus said, some through the waters and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day long. I want you to know that God guides. It may not always be the place that we like to go. The second verse or another verse of that old hymn tells us sometimes it's on the mountain where the sun shines so bright that God leads His dear children along. Then sometimes it's in the valley in the darkest of the night, but God leads His dear children along. I'm grateful that God leads us whether we're on the mountain peaks, whether we're in the dark valleys of the experiences of life. Nonetheless, the Lord still leads us and guides us along the journey of life. The Bible declares that the steps, and somebody said in the stops, of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And if God orders our steps as we travel along the journey of life, I believe that's the direction we need to make it all the way home. The wise man tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse number 5, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In verse 6 he said, in all of thy ways acknowledge Him. And then what did he say he would do? He said he would direct our paths. I believe he'll do exactly what he said he would do. Now the children of Israel were on their march to that land that God had promised them. They were in the wilderness of Sinai. They were to journey, and they found guidance through that tempestuous voyage of life. There were 4 ways that God gave divine guidance and instruction for Israel in that hour. First of all, in verse number 2, he said to Moses, make 2 trumpets. Trumpets of silver, 1 piece. They were not to have component parts, but just to be 1 piece. I believe these 2 silver trumpets, pictures to us, the infallible, undiluted, unmitigated truths of God's Word. Those 2 trumpets is both the Old and the New Testament. And I believe that these trumpets, or this trumpet, is the thing that will give us direction as well as it gave Israel of old. Now the trumpeters had a responsibility upon them because they were to blow that trumpet and make the sound. When they blew a certain sound upon that trumpet, they would assemble all of the congregation or the assembly together in the door of the tabernacle. they could sound another sound on that trumpet, and it would mean that they were about to make a journey. They were to sound another alarm, and that meant that there was imminent danger, that there was a possibility of war. And the Bible said the Lord remembered them and delivered them from their enemies. They were to also blow these trumpets at their burnt offering, feast of the burnt offering. They were to blow this trumpet at their peace offerings. There was a time for these trumpets to blow. And the responsibility rested upon those men that held those trumpets in their hand. And I believe that's where we come in at today. And that is to know how. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Word of God declares to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing. Another translation says laying out in parts the Word of life. I'm persuaded that we need to know how to make the proper sound on the trumpet. If we only make one sound, I think many times that I only know how to blow and make one sound, and I'm not too sure about that one. But the Bible said, if the trumpet giveth an uncertain sound, then how shall the people prepare to battle? That's where we need to know how to use that trumpet. I believe there is an answer for every problem and for every perplexity of life. I believe there's a message for us in our hours of worship and festivity. There is an answer in God's Word. There's a sound that can come forth from that trumpet. When danger is imminent, whatever the need is, I believe we can sound that trumpet and it will guide us in this voyage and in this battle of life that we're in today. In 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 19, the Bible said we have also a more sure word of prophecy. I want you to know, neighbor, when you begin to blow on this trumpet, there will not be an uncertain sound. He said we have a more sure word of prophecy, that we do well that we take heed as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our heart. In the gospel according to Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, the Bible said, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. And the next verse said, and when he had left speaking, he saith unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I want you to know, here is some divine guidance. Here is some divine direction. Peter came reverberating back in the next verse and said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Somebody has well said, anything that begins with we always ends with nothing. We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Here they were the next day, there on the sandy shores. They were washing their nets. I'm sure they were sleepy. They were weary. And they were forlorn because they had labored all night long and had taken nothing. But I want you to know, neighbor, that in the solemnity of that hour, that sea-walking blind man, healing leper, cleansing man from Galilee, said, Peter, just cast your net over into the deep. Hallelujah. And Peter put up an argument. He said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Then that little word, nevertheless, it appears a lot of times in this book. It means notwithstanding or in spite of. In spite of the fact, Lord, that we're fishermen by trade. In spite of the fact that we know every nook and cranny in this lake. We know that if there were fish there to be caught, we would have surely gotten them. We toiled all night, but in spite of all of that, at thy word, he said, I will. Hallelujah. Let down the net. And the Bible said, when he had this done, when he had listened to that divine guidance, that divine direction, and let down his net, the Bible said they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and the net break. So they beckoned to their partners which were in the other ship to come and help them, and they came and filled both ships until they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also the multitude that were with him, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners together with Simon. But Jesus said unto Simon, he said, "Simon, fear not, for from this moment on, you're going to be fishers of men. You're going to catch men." Now I like the way that story ends. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook it all and followed Jesus. Hallelujah. After a night of failure, after a night of toil, after a night that they had taken nothing, on divine guidance and divine direction, they followed that divine direction, and it brought a glorious result. The Word of God declares in the 119th division of the Psalm in verse 105, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. The Word of God declares in the 119th division of the Psalm in verse number 130 that the entrance of thy word giveth light. And I like that last statement because I can kind of relate to that. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I'd like to make it a little stronger than that. I love that 138th division of the Psalm in verse 1. David said, "I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word," hallelujah, "above all of thy name." I want you to know, neighbor, that you can pick up this trumpet and begin to blow, and it'll give a message for every occasion. There's a message in it for every need that could ever arise. It'll give us guidance along this tempestuous voyage of life. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in the which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope which is set before us, which hope we have." Now there may be a lot of things that we do not have, but I'll guarantee you there are some things we do have. Hallelujah. And he said that hope we have, it's an anchor of the soul. It's both sure and it's steadfast. And it entereth into that within the veil. Now most every anchor that I know anything about goes down, and it fastens to something beneath. I want you to know our anchor doesn't go down, but it goes up beyond the din and the fog of this life. It goes yonder behind that veil. Hallelujah. It entereth to that within the veil. Hallelujah. And I think we need to be very sure that that anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Pardon me if I get too excited here. Praise God. This is supposed to be a school ministry. I forgot for a minute. I thought it's Kent. This world that we're living in fact, all the worlds. I do not know how many worlds, but in Hebrews 11, verse 3, the Bible said, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen, they're not made of those things that doth appear." God didn't take rock and wood and water and stone and make this world. He just simply said, "Let there be," and there was. Read the early chapters of the book of Genesis, and over and over and over and over, you'll read, "And God said, and there was. God said, and there was. God said it, and I believe." Hallelujah. If God says it, it is. In Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 1, it tells us Where it tells us a little later in that chapter how that He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He hath made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, or the effulgence of the Father's glory, the express image of His person, when He had by Himself purged our, and He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. That's the one I wanted to give you. In Romans 10, verse 17, the Bible tells us, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Healing is by God's word, for the Bible tells us in chapter 8 and verse 8, how that of the book of Matthew, how the centurion besought Jesus to come and heal his servant. And Jesus said, I'll go and heal him. But the man said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. He went on to say in verse number 8, if you'll just speak the word only, just speak the word only. He sent his word and he healed him. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, the Bible said, husbands, love your wives, even as also Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of water, by the word. There's cleansing, neighbor. There's cleansing in the word of God. And finally, I always like to come back to Philippians chapter 2, Brother Bryant. That's one of my favorite portions. But in verse number 12, after it tells us in the previous verses that God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, in verse 12, he tells us, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, he said, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then he said, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And here's the verse, and holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Neighbor, if you hold forth the word of life, I'll guarantee you, your life will not have been in vain. In the 127th Psalm, verse 1, he said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. We need to hold forth the word of life in these dark, crucial hours in which we live. All right, those trumpets gave guidance. The Scripture gave them guidance in that hour. The next thing that gave them guidance was the cloud. And I believe that that cloud is symbolic or illustrative of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us in John 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I'd like for you to note, maybe you do not have time to note it in that 10th chapter of the book of Numbers, but the cloud is never at variance with the trumpets. The cloud is never at variance with the trumpets. The Word and the Spirit will always agree. Somebody comes to you with a revelation. They say, the Spirit reveals something to me. If it doesn't harmonize with this, you'd better not accept it. Because the cloud is never at variance with the trumpets. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, the writer said, the former treatise have I made unto thee, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Here is the living word, but yet he is operating under the divine anointing of the Holy Ghost. After he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse number 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ accursed. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ accursed. I guarantee you, the cloud and the trumpets will always harmonize. The Spirit and the Word will never be at variance. Hallelujah. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which the Lord hath prepared for them that love Him, but He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. There are some things we cannot know except and unless we have a revelation of the Spirit of God. We take in all of our learning through our five senses, the sense of touch, the sense of taste and smell and hearing. We take in our knowledge through those five senses. But I believe that we need that sixth sense, and that is a revelation of the Spirit of God. For in Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13, Jesus entered into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and He began to interrogate His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They begin to answer. Some say, "You're Moses." Some say, "You're Elias," or one of the prophets. Jesus said, "But who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And about that time, Peter stood forth in the midst of them, and I believe he had a sudden revelation of the Holy Spirit. He said, "I'll tell you who I think you are. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus looked at him and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but you've had a revelation from my Father." Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 26, "Likewise also the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Hallelujah. We just need that divine guidance of the Holy Spirit, neighbor, as we travel along the journey. In Romans 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." To the seven churches of Asia, the message was the same. "To he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I believe the Holy Spirit is talking in these last days. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." I better go on here. Number 3, not only did they have the trumpets, not only did they have the clouds, but in, let's see, what verse is it? I'd have to look back. Verse 29. "And Moses said unto Hobab," now who is Hobab? He's the son of Reguel the Midianite. But it went on to say he was Moses' father-in-law. "And Moses said unto Hobab," his father-in-law, he said, "Come go with us and we'll do you good." Hobab refused and he said, "I'd rather dwell in public domain." But he came back with this statement. He said, "You know how we are to encamp in the wilderness." So you see, Hobab had spent a lifetime there in that kind of terrain. He had spent a lifetime. He had been over that terrain before. He knew how to live in the wilderness. And these people didn't know how to live in the wilderness. He said, "I want you to go with us and be unto us as our eyes. If you'll go with us, you have knowledge enough of this wilderness that you can be our eyes for us." So Hobab, to me, pictures God's servants, those that God has sent to us to help guide us along the journey of life. And neighbor, I thank God for all of the Hobabs that have come our way, that God has sent unto us. In the book of Ephesians, let me start in chapter 4, about verse number 1. Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love." Brankle said, "That's just putting up with each other." Forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. For he said, there's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. He said, there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism. There's one God and Father of all, which is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. Hallelujah. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they just lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth. Truth and love may grow up into him, and that's what it's all about, in all things. Can you think right now some precious hobabs the Lord has sent your way? They've literally been eyes for us, because they've been over this road before. They've been right down the same path that you're walking in. I thank God for those that God has sent our way. He said, you will be to us instead of eyes. In Acts chapter 27, verse 21, Paul was on board that ship, a prisoner headed for Rome. In about verse number 9, it tells us the fast was already past. That harbor, that haven was not commodious to winter in. And the more part advised that they depart from thence. And it tells us that Paul warned them and said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be a hazardous one, not only to the lading in the ship, but he said, also our lives. It's verse 12, I believe. If it's not verse 12, somebody said there's good reading in there anyway. But in about verse 12, it said, nevertheless, the centurion believed. What did he believe? He believed the master and the owner of the ship more than the things that were spoken by Paul. And the south wind blew softly, and they, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they loosened thence and began to sail. Didn't sail very far. Verse 14 said, but a tempestuous wind, there arose a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. I hope I'm correct on this. Brother Brummett, tell me after it's over. But that tempestuous wind, Euroclydon, is a storm from the northeast or from the east. And I believe we're facing a storm from the east today. Planet Earth is certainly facing a storm from the east. But I'm grateful that God sent us some hobabs like Paul along. And the Bible tells us that when that storm hit and they had tossed over everything they felt like they could do without, and no small tempest lay upon us. For days and nights, they couldn't tell day from night. When the sun or moon or stars did not appear, no small tempest lay upon us. They said all hope that we should ever be saved was then taken away. In verse 20, I believe it is, Paul said, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you just should have hearkened unto me. Should have listened. You would not have gained this harm and loss. How many times have we said that? How many times could we look back and say, dear Lord, if I'd have just listened to what my pastor was trying to tell me. If I would just listen to what Hobab tried to tell me. Because they've been this way before us. They know how we're to encamp here in the wilderness. And you'll be his eyes to us. Thank God for those that God sends to help us along the journey of life. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they do what? They watch for your souls. Their eyes to us. They watch for us. Thank God for somebody that loves us enough, concerned about us enough to watch for us. our eternal souls are at stake. Hallelujah. All right. I hasten on to number four. Not only did they have the trumpets, not only did they have the cloud, when the fleecy folds of that cloud lifted and began to move, then they began to move. And then they had Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, that knew that journey through the wilderness. And he became his eyes. God's servants that God sends our way. The last one is in verse, must be 33, yes. They departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. That ark went a 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. They were pretty safe to follow that ark. It gave guidance, hallelujah, in that wilderness wandering. I believe this ark, inside that little chest which resembled a casket, on the inside of that chest there were two tables of stone. There were two tables of stone, the commandments of the Lord that were written with the finger of God. Hallelujah. I believe this is a picture of God's Son, Jesus Christ, in whom rest the unbroken law. Hallelujah. And I believe that if we'll follow in His footsteps, as ye have received Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus your Lord, so walk ye in Him. In Matthew chapter 7 in verse number 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him to a foolish man that builds his house upon the sand. He's foolish, but he's wise enough to know he needs a house, and foolish enough to think anywhere he builds it's okay. And so he builds it on the sand. The same threefold test, the rains descend, that tries the roof. The floods came, that tried the foundation. The winds blew, that tried the entire structure. And it fell in an hour when he needed it the most, in the height of the storm. I'm afraid that'll be repeated a lot of times. In an hour when man needs shelter the most, it's going to collapse and fall. And great was the fall of it. In the book of James, chapter 1, in verse number 21, he said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he deceives him his own self. He is as a man that beholdeth his natural face in a glass, and then he goeth his way, and he straightway forgets what he looked like, or what manner of man he was. But oh, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hallelujah. And he said, if any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion is in vain, pure religion and undefiled before God. And the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Praise God. I think I'm going to shut it off right there. Praise God. But God does give direction. He gives us guidance, neighbor, when we need it. He gave Israel guidance through that wandering in the wilderness, by the trumpets, by the cloud, by servants, and by the ark. I believe God will give us divine guidance till we anchor over yonder on the shiny banks of sweet deliverance. Hallelujah to God. I like the words of that old song, God knows the way through the wilderness, and all we need to do is to follow. Strength for the day, mine all the way, and all that I need.